You can be greedy for more than just money. We're going to mainly be talking about money tonight. But remember that if greed is desire, as it were, on steroids, desire is something that comes from the heart. It's no wonder that early on in Proverbs, we are warned to guard our hearts with all diligence, because all of our life flows out from what's going on in there. And, you know, if you're a believer, it's easy sometimes when you're part of a visible body like this to say, look, as long as I look good to what people can see, it doesn't matter what's going on in my heart. But that's not Christianity. Christianity has us doing heavy heart work. Where is my heart? Where are my desires? And we talked a couple of weeks ago about the glutton that demands immediate gratification. It might be from food or for money or for fame or sex or whatever pleasure we most desire. A hedonist living for pleasure, at war on the inside, and willing to cross God's boundaries and break God's laws to gain our heart's desire. I don't know if you've thought about this before, but really people do get what they desire most. You decide what you want, and that's where your life's going to flow. If you want money, you can have money. If you want immorality, you can have immorality. Whatever you most want, that's what we tend to live for. But it's possible to get what you most desire and lose what is most valuable. The sluggard loves sleep and inactivity, so he chooses that rather than serving God and serving others. He gets what he wants, but he loses what he most needs. Our desires are deadly if they are set on the wrong things, or if they are set on right things without regard to God's limits and design. The New Testament calls greed covetousness, and it is idolatry. So just think how pathetic it is, how suicidal it is to make a God out of anything or anyone that's less than God. When we do that, we not only dishonor God, but we cheat ourselves, because we need a big God. We need the real God. And when we live for smaller gods, pursuing idols, we lose. So what does divine wisdom have to say specifically about greed? We want to explore that tonight, and in so doing, find solid ways to protect our hearts from this deadly sin. There are three truths we're going to look at tonight from the book of Proverbs. Number one, setting your heart on wealth poisons your life. Setting your heart on wealth poisons your life. Number two, trusting wealth will leave you lacking. It's never enough. And there are things that are far more valuable. Trusting wealth will leave you lacking. And number three, pursuing true riches will free you from greed. Let's ask God to help us plant these things in our hearts so they come out in our lives. Father, thank you for your word. May it train us in the way we should go for your glory and our good. In Christ's name, amen. First off, setting your heart on wealth poisons your life. Proverbs 15:27, whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. One of the most common excuses I think I've ever heard for greed is protecting one's family, providing for my family. It's critical to understand that when you set your heart on wealth, even for the sake of your family, you will only harm your family and even destroy it. You are shepherding your family into idol worship. Do you really believe that your family will benefit from idol worship? You may actually poison them for generations. They may be known as people that are wealthy in terms of money, but in poverty in regard to God. So keep your greed in check, or else you will be vulnerable to those who tempt you to do wrong. For instance, for the sake of money, called a bribe. Protect yourself from being used. You see, if I'm not in love with money, if I'm not greedy for money, then your bribe doesn't nearly have the pull, because that's not what I'm living for. Proverbs 21:6, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. So lying and cheating, common tactics to get ahead financially. You know, it's business. It's just the way business is done. But whatever you gain, you lose. And instead of the good life, you get trapped by death. Don't do it. Don't lie to get ahead. Don't lie to get more money. Don't let greed take you down that path and poison your life. And in Proverbs 22:16, whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty. One of the most disgusting ways people get wealthy is by abusing other people, whether it's their employees by paying them less than what their work deserves, or the needy by withholding help that you should and could give. And the flip side is paying off people who don't need your money in order to gain the advantage of the power that they wield. Your love affair with money is really just a love affair with yourself, and it turns the greatest commands on their head. Instead of loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you dishonor God by being deceptive and abusing others. And instead of loving others as yourself, you harm them. The judge of all the earth takes note and will deal with you. And that is why setting your heart on wealth poisons your life. The New Testament says it will pierce you through with many sorrows. Number two, trusting wealth will leave you lacking. So you say, oh, okay, I'm willing to take the risk. Somehow I'll avoid the poison. I'm still going to go after the wealth. The part of your problem may be that you're just trusting wealth to give you what it can't possibly give. Keller puts it this way: some trust wealth for safety in this world. Others trust it for a sense of significance and worth. But these are things only God can give us. Greed destabilizes your life. Only God is completely reliable, and only Jesus and his salvation is true treasure. We have to come to actually believe that. Proverbs 23:4-5, do not toil to acquire wealth. The point of working is not just for the money. It's not just so that you can accumulate money. And that's counterintuitive for us. That's so contrary to the American way of thinking. When your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. Yes, you hear the success stories. You hear the people that are rolling in the wealth and what they did to get there, but you tend not to hear so much about the people that lost their wealth overnight. And there are all kinds of ways that it can be stripped from you. Wealth comes and it goes. It takes wings. And if you're living for wealth, if that's what you've got to have to be happy, then you're not going to be happy. No matter how much you have, you'll want more. And it's so difficult to protect. It easily flies away. Even the wealthiest people will lose it very quickly. Pursuing wealth for your satisfaction is misguided from the start, because wealth comes and goes. It sprouts wings and flies away. And then what will you do for your security and happiness? Remember, Paul talked, Brent was teaching us last week, Paul talked about being content, being independent of the circumstances. Whether you have lots or you have little, you can still be content. You can still be happy when you're living for something much bigger than wealth. Proverbs 15:16-17, better is a little with the fear of the Lord, basically a phrase that describes true worship of God, then great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox, which would be for feasting, and hatred with it. So the fear of the Lord, along with peace and love, far outweighs the worth of material treasure and even a comfortable lifestyle. It is possible to be poor in terms of your bank account, in terms of, you know, how fancy your food is, and yet have a very full life, because it's a life of worship to God, a life of peace, and a life where love is. Proverbs 16:8, better is little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. So righteousness, conforming yourself to the standards of God, is better than having lots of money. Doing right before God is better than money. Proverbs 11:18 explains why. The wicked earns deceptive wages, and one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. Why is it deceptive? Because the money is not enough to give you the satisfaction you desire. The money is not enough to protect you the way you need to be protected. And the money is not reliable. But the reward that you earn by serving God, you never lose. It's yours forever. Not even a cup of cold water given in Christ's name will lose its reward. And so that's what we live for. It's a sure reward versus wages that will trick you and disappear on you. Proverbs 11:24, one gives freely and yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Now, why is that so? Well, Proverbs 19:17 explains, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. It's kind of like what we talked about this morning, right? That being generous, being a giving person, doesn't shortchange you because you are tapping into an infinite supply. You know, it's a great blessing, a great joy to be a conduit of God's supply to other people. And that's one of the privileges that we have. Fearing to give is just one form of greed, common even in the church, but it's foolish, especially in the church. It forgets that it is God who supplies our every need, not wealth itself. Proverbs 11:4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The fact is that we are all rushing toward the consummation of the age. We are all accountable to God every day, and wealth will not save us on judgment day. The wealthiest man on the planet has no better standing before God than the poorest man. And keeping aware of our daily accountability to God keeps us from serving money instead of him. And that leads us to the third reality, and that is pursuing true riches will free you from greed. Early on in Proverbs, Solomon teaches us about true riches by referring to wisdom from God as what is worth pursuing the way that the world pursues material wealth. Proverbs 2:1-5, my son, if you will receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your heart attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you will call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. God is infinite and wealth is not. Proverbs 3:13-15, blessed or happy is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Wisdom is personified in Proverbs 8. She cries out in verses 18 and 19, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I think it's helpful to remember that it was Solomon who penned these words. Solomon, the wealthiest man on the planet at the time, that knew what wealth could do perhaps better than any other human being alive. He knew this perhaps better than anyone, this truth. As a young king, he asked not for wealth, but for the wisdom he needed to govern the people of Israel well, and God gave him both. Refusing to pursue wealth does not mean you will lack what you need. It doesn't even mean you'll never be wealthy if God chooses to make you so. It just means that you understand that godly wisdom is far more valuable, and as such is what you're going to live for, so that you don't end up in the frying pan. So let's think about a few questions and applications regarding these three points. Number one, setting your heart on wealth poisons your life. In what ways does your heart toward money bring health to you and your family, or bring poison and trouble? Consider. Number two, trusting wealth will leave you lacking. What do you tend to trust money for? security, power, acceptance by others, control? And how can you shift the object of your trust? What do you trust most? Or should I say, whom do you trust most? And number three, pursuing true riches will free you from greed. In what ways does your everyday life and your strategic planning show that you value true riches? Now, I've just given you a dump truck load of stuff to think about. But let me encourage all of us to be meditating on these truths this week and then aligning our lives with real wisdom and pursuing the true riches that we have in Christ. Father, thank you for your word, and Lord, we all need the instruction. It seems like every week as we hit each new topic, we go away almost bleeding with the conviction that it brings because it hits us right where we live. Help us, God, to use the provision you give to us well, but help us not to worship it. Help us to worship you alone. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.